You stumbled into the warehouse completely by chance. It had been a fun night out with friends, and in your somewhat drunken stupor, decided that walking through an industry park would be a perfectly good shortcut. Then, as luck would have it, the rain started coming down, and you found yourself inside the warehouse belonging to Volkov Industries to escape it. You'd been fairly drunk, but you quickly realized that you were not drunk enough to forget what you were about to witness. Laying half-beaten to a pulp on the floor was a man that, in what you quickly realized to be a puddle of his own blood. Over him hovered two other men who looked like they were built to fight, and a few feet away sat a woman in a chair. She seemed perfectly relaxed, staring down at the man on the floor with a look of well-practiced indifference. Then, she raised her hand and made a dismissive gesture. One of the burly men lifted a crowbar and with a wide swing brought it down on the head of the man on the floor. The sound was revolting and your dinner was fighting its way back up. The woman was the first one to notice you.
Who are you? What are you doing here?
The two men delivering the beating are on you before your drunken mind has any time to process what is happening. You're dragged to the woman who has risen from her chair. She looks down her nose at you as you're forced onto your knees in front of her. Fear takes a hold of you as you try to ignore that man now laying about 5 feet away from you. The pool of blood grows, and it almost touches your leg. You try to explain the situation, frantically saying that it's all a mistake, but she does not look impressed.
And why should I believe you? You come wandering onto private property, and now you are a witness to a murder. You are a liability, my dear.
You fear your last days have been counted, looking up at the woman. She cuts an intimidating figure. She starts to circle you, stepping over the body as if it was little more than a piece of garbage, hearing you out as you try to defend yourself. You tell her that you were just trying to hide from the rain, that you were on your way home, and industry park had been a shortcut, and the door to the warehouse was unlocked and open, and she stops in front of you, bending over so she's almost face to face with you. It takes everything in you not to stare down her shirt, so instead you focus on a minuscule blood spatter on her cheek.
Do you know who I am?
The question surprises you a little, and you study her face frantically in the hope that it might ring a bell, but it doesn't, so you shake her head. The woman laughs a little, standing up straight.
I am Victoria Alexandrovich Volkov. You do well to remember, because you work for me now. When I call on you, you answer. When I tell you to jump, you ask how high. And do not bother thinking about going to the police. They are very much in our pocket.
You're confused, and she catches onto that pretty quickly, scoffing.
It is that or death, my friend. Which do you prefer? Because I do suspect Dmitri hasn't had his fill yet for the night.
One of the burly men enters your line of sight and cracks his knuckles, grinning. Your tongue, still influenced by the alcohol, can't quite catch up with your words, and you end up half slurring out that you agree. You'll work for her. Whatever she asks, just please don't. She cuts you off again, raising her hand. You fall quiet immediately.
You're a fast learner. I like that.
There's something about the little smile tucking at the corners of her mouth that makes you nervous, but you know better than to say anything. Instead, you wait.
Get up. Go home. Forget what you saw. I will be in touch with you soon.
You're up on your feet in an instant, making a beeline for the door. You're trying to convince yourself that this is all just one big nightmare, that you fell asleep at the bar or something like that, and soon enough Jake would shake your arm and you would wake up and he would make fun of you for falling asleep. But as you step outside, the cold air and the rain on your skin feel very painfully real. When you wake up the next morning, it's because someone is knocking on your front door. You have a hangover, and you aren't particularly thrilled with the sudden interruption, nor at the noise making your headache arguably worse. You drag yourself out of bed, calling that you'll be right there. The knocking stops, thank God, and you amble over to the door. When you open it, you just about faint.
Good morning, friend.
In front of you stands Victoria, dressed in a pressed red suit. Not a hair is out of place, and her makeup looks professionally done. She looks like she belongs more on a film set than a site of a murder or your apartment.
I will not bother you with small talk. You know why I am here, do you not?
She smiles as she notices a complete look of shock on your face and pushes past you into the apartment. You are trying to think of anything to say but fall short. So instead, she spearheads the conversation while she looks around. You suddenly feel very exposed.
I do believe you found yourself under my employ last night. If this is you trying to be smart with me, you will very quickly find that I am not the person who enjoys being made a fool of.
You hesitate but shake your head. She looks at you, pursing her lips slightly as if you just very much said the wrong thing. You reassure her you meant nothing of the sort, and she keeps staring at you and you feel about an inch tall by the time she looks away.
Do you have a boyfriend, girlfriend, partner, something like that?
The question throws you off a bit, but you shake your head once again. She hums, staring at some old family pictures you have on display. She reaches out and picks up a picture of your parents. She doesn't say or do much other than look at it, but you have a feeling this is a very silent threat.
I'm going to start you off with two jobs. One is running errands. On occasion, one of my men will bring you letters and packages. You're to drop them off and report back as to what happened and what was said. Very simple stuff.
She puts the photograph down, and you feel like you swallowed a brick. She smiles at you, and it very much feels like a lioness looking down at her prey. There's nothing of kindness to it.
And the second one is more fun for the both of us.
She walks up to you again. With her high heels, she's just about an inch taller than you, and the fact you have to slightly look up at her does not help the power imbalance at play. Your body has also decided to betray you, and in the face of potential danger, you find yourself growing hard.
I think you are rather handsome, and it has been a while since someone has warmed my bed.
She reaches up and grabs your chin with a gloved hand, forcing you to look into her eyes. The fear and the implication of what she's saying cause your cock to throb.
But before I fully decide on whether or not you're worthy of that honor, I want to, how do you call it, sample the wares?
She's grinning wider, and a gasp is forced out of you when she grabs your cock through your sweatpants and gives it a firm squeeze.
I do believe I already like what I am feeling, but a good tool might as well be useless in the hands of a man who does not know how to wield it.
She rubs you for a moment, leather-covered fingers tracing the outline of your erection through the fabric. Then she pulls away, calmly ridding herself of the blazer she was wearing.
Where is your bedroom? I want to find out what you are capable of.
For a moment, you are convinced this has to be some sort of porn practical joke, but you're not too keen to find out if Victoria has been lying to you or not. Becoming a speed bump isn't exactly one of your aspirations in life. You show her the way, voice a little shaky, and she gives you an amused little smile. She follows you, undoing the first few buttons of her dress shirt, and gives you a peek at the red and black lace she's wearing underneath. You feel like you were about to combust. Victoria undresses further once you're in the bedroom, now letting you see all of her. She's wearing red and black lingerie, looking incredibly put together and out of place in your slightly messy bedroom. She's staring at you and sits down on the edge of the bed, legs primly crossed.
On your knees.
You drop to your knees so fast it ends up kind of hurting you. She continues looking at you as she uncrosses her legs, revealing the fact that her panties are crotchless. She's also visibly wet, and your mouth starts to water.
Get me ready. Use your mouth and fingers, and don't be afraid to get messy.
You're not sure what's possessing you, but you lean in instantly and put your mouth on her.
Oh. I applaud your enthusiasm. Though when men's lives are on the line, you'd be surprised at what they're capable of doing. Yes, like that. Curl your fingers. Oh, so obedient. Spit. Don't look at me like that. Spit. Good boy. Oh, get me nice and wet, will you? Curl your fingers again. Yes, like that. Oh, keep doing that. So eager. All right, stop. Enough.
You reluctantly pull away and look up at her. Her pupils are blown wide with lust. She gets up, and you let out an embarrassingly submissive noise as she gently nudges your cock with the tip of her shoe.
Get on the bed. I've had enough of your mouth. I want your cock.
Once again, you find yourself hurrying to obey. You strip yourself of your clothes and lay down on the bed, back against the pillow. You try not to feel slightly self-conscious as she settles in your lap.
Oh, you poor thing. So hard. Must be uncomfortable, no?
Her hand wraps around your cock, stroking it with slow, firm movement.
I can feel you throbbing in my hand. You better pray that you aren't close to coming yet, because if you do before I...
She grins, and between shaky, unconvincing breaths, you try to reassure her that you won't come too soon, though she is making it incredibly difficult for you.
Enough playing around.
Without a further word, Victoria sits up and lowers herself down on your cock. She's soaking and so warm and tight around you.
Oh, fuck. This is exactly what I've been needing. A nice playing toy to ride. And the fact that you are so easily swayed into pleasing me. Omnitia, you are doing wicked things to me. Oh. You can grab my hips, I don't mind. You can grab my chest. Get a little adventurous, I will allow it for this once. Oh. Oh, that is such a cute look on you. All needy and pathetic. Omnitia, I'm going to ride you until we both come. Rub my clit. Come on. We don't have much time to lose. Rub it. Just like that. Use your thumb. So you get the kick out of knowing you got me so wet for you. You get the kick of knowing that someone who could easily end your life is now choosing to bring you pleasure instead. Oh, fuck, like that. A little faster. Good. Good boy. Are you close, Omnitia? What I'm calling you, it basically means clever boy, something like that. Just a little more. Yes, yes. Come in me. Come in me, come on.
When you come down from your orgasm, you find yourself looking at her for a moment. Part of Victoria's veneer seemed to have slipped, and she breathes heavily, hair disheveled and her makeup slightly smudged. But as soon as you notice, it's gone. In your lap still sits a woman who didn't flinch at the sight of a murder. She gets off of you, cursing under her breath in Russian as cum leaks down her thigh.
As fun as this was, I would like to clean up. What is your bathroom?
You point in the direction she needs to go, and she thanks you, leaving. You're left alone with your thoughts, going over everything that has happened, and still having a hard time wrapping your head around the entire situation. This entire thing feels beyond surreal, and the fact that someone like her just rode you. A few moments later, Victoria returns, handing you a glass of water and a damp washcloth.
To drink and to clean up. I am afraid I am not much for cuddling, but I am not uncaring. I take care of those who take care of me.
She seems somewhat out of her element, but you thank her, straightening yourself out while she redresses herself.
I had fun. I think you will make a great asset to my organization.
Victoria looks at you, as if measuring her words. Then, she takes your phone from the side table and messes around with it for a bit. A moment later, she hands it to you.
My number.
I will be in touch. If you have any questions, call me. And with that, she leaves. You're left alone, the room still smelling like sex, and wondering, what the fuck just happened?